Many evangelical churches now feel that fitting in with the world is the best way to reach people. But reach them for what? We're called to pull people off the road to ruin and put them on the track that leads to heaven. People need to make an about-face, not join a social club. Today, why the church must be distinct from the culture for it to have any impact on the culture at all. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our series is on Who Are You to Judge? Learning to distinguish between truths, half-truths, and lies. Erwin Lutzer is giving us a wake-up call. He's entitled, The Future is Here. We're called to a unity based on truth, not popular opinion.
What does all this have to do with our series on judging, with our series on asking the question, what is it like to be in the world but not of it? A few observations. First of all, I want us to understand that we are to be distinct from the world. Distinct from the world. Obviously. And the Bible says that if we are lovers of the world, the love of the Father is not in us. And what is the world? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, all of those values. We live among people with those values, but those are not the values that we should have. Whatever made us think as an evangelical church that it is possible to follow Jesus without turning our backs on this world? When he says that the world is his enemy. And to think that we can follow Jesus and buy into all the values, all of the things that the people of the world do, that we can just somehow not be affected when truth is desecrated in our presence. I have to ask the question, where have we come? Where have I come? Where has we as a church come? Where has the evangelical church in America come to? We are to be distinct from the world. And now it becomes even more important, folks. We are to be united in the truth. Why did I take so much time to point out that Jesus here begins to pray for those who accepted his name, for those who knew that he came from the Father, those who trusted him, those who obeyed his word, and those who were sanctified by the truth? Why did I take so much time to do that? It's because this passage of Scripture is so often misused. What you have people saying is, now, Pastor Lutzer, don't you dare teach doctrine because it divides people. My dear friend, that's the whole point of preaching doctrine, is to divide people. That's why I preach it, is that they might be divided. You look at the ministry of Jesus, he was constantly talking about false preachers and false teachers, and that's why, if I didn't mention it already, one of the messages is on identifying false prophets and false teachers. It's because that's the whole purpose of doctrine. People say, well, you know, but we're supposed to all be one. My dear friend, it is much better to be united by truth. And we're supposed to be united by truth than to be somehow united with false doctrine. Or, let me put it this way, it is much better to be divided by the truth than to be united with error. Do I have a witness out there, by the way? Now, if we can have a prayer service in Yankee Stadium, and you can have all the different religions of the world invited, and they're all praying to their own god or gods. And if Jesus shows up in that prayer service, because he's represented there too by a minister, if you can look at that and there was nothing in your heart that just absolutely sunk with pain, I don't know whether or not you love Jesus or not. Because you don't put Jesus on the same plane with Krishna and Baha'u'llah and Buddha. He does not fit there. He is above all principalities and powers. During the days of the early church, with all that persecution going on, one Roman emperor after another kept persecuting Christians. Some of them were more moderate. Finally, there was one emperor by the name of Alexander who said, "Let's let the persecution end." And the Christians were happy for that. But then he said, "Not only is the persecution going to end, I'm going to do something very wonderful for the Christians." He said, "I'm going to take an image of their God, Jesus, and put it in the Pantheon where we have all the Roman gods, and Jesus will be one among the many." And the Christians said, "No way, Jose." They maybe said it in a different language, but that was the idea. "You're not doing Christianity a favor by taking an image of Jesus and putting it in the pantheon of gods. He does not belong as one among many. He is King of kings and Lord of lords and above all gods. You don't try to put him on the same pedestal as those others." You don't have to come up later and say to me, "Well, can't you be nicer?" I am nice. Of course, all the other religions of the world have a right in America to believe whatever they want to believe, and to worship whomever they want to worship, and to pray to whomever they want to pray to. I understand that right. But let's not go from the idea that everybody has a right to all these different beliefs to the silly idea that all these different beliefs are right. What we need to do is to recognize that there is a distinction. Jesus is King, and beside him, there is no other. What am I expecting in these messages? First of all, a sense of unity to grow, that we might love Christ better, but that in our discernment we'll represent him better to the world, and also that we will be more courageous in the best possible way. Courageous in the best possible way to represent him and not think that he is just one among a whole host of deities. There's a third conclusion I come to. And that is obvious, I've already mentioned it, and that is our responsibility to represent Jesus Christ to the world and to represent him well. I began this message by talking about our postmodern culture, and the $64 question is this: how do we represent Christ in a nation that no longer believes in reason, a nation that is awash in superstition? Superstitious ideas from whatever, and they can all be accepted and be all touted as just the latest knowledge. How do we do that? It used to be that you could actually present arguments for the Christian faith. How do you witness to people who no longer accept any arguments because they have no confidence in reason? They trust their own intuition and their own perceptions. My dear friend, there is an answer, as I've been thinking about this. You know what it is too. Our nation is so fractured because of the brokenness of the homes, because of rampant sexuality that is destroying people, and they are in despair and emptiness. They have all of these ideas in their minds. Some of them have made up their minds to reject Christianity, but others, it's a mixture of Christianity and God knows what else. And by the way, he does know what else, because he knows everything. What we need to do, folks, is to establish credibility by our love and by our sacrificial involvement in the lives of other people. I believe that as God has blessed our church, we have seen it grow, but do you know that it could grow much more if we all sacrificially became involved in the lives of our visitors when they stand, or people whom we meet? And we begin to say to ourselves that we have to broaden the little circle of our friends. We have to be involved in hospitality, in caring and love, because Jesus did say that people would know that we are his disciples by the way in which we loved one another. And so what we need to do is to realize that in a day when intellectual arguments no longer carry the weight they once did, love will carry the weight and the day, so that they understand that what Jesus did in us, no other religion or leader can possibly do. Tertullian, during those first centuries of Christianity in North Africa, said that the pagans were so overwhelmed by the love of the Christians, and yet they were irritated by the fact that these Christians seemed to be so different. The pagans called them the third race, because they said that when they have a funeral, they carry their dead as if in triumph. Who are these people who do not fear death? And the Christians gained credibility, and soon the gospel in North Africa began to spread. Jesus makes this amazing statement that humbles me. He says, "As the Father hath sent me into the world, so send I you." You're to be my representatives. You're to be in the world and not of it, just as I was in the world and not of it. And that is our calling. And that is the challenge to which we as a church rise at this very critical open moment in American history. And if you're here, by the way, and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, could I commend him to you? Could I tell you how wonderful he is? That he's the one who forgives us. He's the one who loves us. He's the one who scoops us out of our sin and self-centeredness and gives us a whole new set of values and changes our desires so that we love God. That's what Jesus can do for you. And he is the focus of all things. And to you, we commend him. This is Pastor Lutzer, and yes, I do commend Jesus Christ to you. But for those of you who have trusted him as Savior, I have a very personal question to ask. The Bible says that we should live in such a way that we have no shame when Jesus Christ returns back to earth. So I'm asking myself this question, and I invite you to ponder it. What is there in our lives that would cause us shame if Jesus were to return back to earth today? Could we take the time to list some of these matters? Could we take the time and the energy to flee from sinful temptations that we know we're going to fall into, and to say to ourselves, let us be set apart for the honor and the glory of God? I really do think that one of the reasons that the church in America does not experience the power of the Holy Spirit as God intended is because we've not dealt thoroughly and completely with issues of sin. We've not been separated unto God. Well, I don't know how many people I speak to today, but I've spoken to my own heart. I hope I have spoken to yours. Let's make a difference.
And helping us make that difference is Dr. Erwin Lutzer, who just concluded The Future Is Here, the first in a 10-part series on Who Are You to Judge? A Study in Discernment. Tomorrow, the words of Jesus, "Judge not, that you be not judged." Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. Who Are You to Judge? Is in print as a book by Dr. Lutzer, a book we'd like to send as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 800-215-5001. That's 800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us tomorrow for our next edition of Running to Win.